Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, along with my co-host, Elder David Clifton and Elder Ryan Fountain. And it's good for us to be here. We thank God that we're able one more time to gather ourselves together to look into the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the Word of God. It's a great blessing to be able to impart truth to people listening to what God has to say, or what the Scripture says. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And that's what we want to do. We thank God that we're privileged to be able to come again and look into the book of Romans, as we have been doing here for the last number of weeks. And so before we do that, we're going to let Elder David Clifton is going to come with his food for thought, and we'll move on from there.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Today I just want to make mention of something. I'm a younger fella in age, but there was a time before when I was not saved and my parents weren't saved. And when I was a younger kid, we used to listen to music of the world, as everyone did. And I remember that song from James Brown. He used to say, I'm black and I'm proud. We have a lot of black folks out there, coloreds, whatever you want to call us. We're very, very proud of our history. And I just want to warn everyone not to let your racial history get in the way from you receiving full truth from God, because there's people out there flying under the banner of Christianity that are trying to persuade people to think, on one hand, that black people were the first people on earth, and then you have other ones that will stray away from or don't want to come to Christianity because it's a white Jesus, and I'm a black man. And Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. So I just want to read these scriptures in your ears to let you know it doesn't matter what color the first man was, and it doesn't matter what race God chose to come in earth, and none of that matters. And Paul, when he wrote to Titus, he told us to avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And Paul, that same writer, when he wrote to Timothy, told him not to give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. So let us not be worried about if Adam was a black man, or if he was white, or if Jesus was a white Jesus, or a black Jesus, or green. It doesn't matter. Let's repent, get your sins washed away, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and have our eyes focused on getting to heaven. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And our guest call-in number, I want to make sure I remember to give it, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566.
Amen. Before we get started in the book of Romans, let me just add on the side. Now, that's a good point that you made, Elder Clifton. I was reading an article today that one of the most segregated places in America still today is within the church realm. Churches is one of the most segregated places in this country. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to bring out the point, and we've said this point on this show before, that there isn't a white church, there isn't a black church. there's just the church. And the church is not meant for one race or the other. Those lines of demarcation were abolished on the cross. The Jewish brethren were the only ones saved before the death of Jesus Christ. But after the death of Jesus Christ and after his resurrection, he brought in a new sheep out of that were not of the fold of the Israelite brethren, but rather from the Gentiles also.
Yes.
So Jews and Gentiles mixed together, whites and blacks mixed together, all sorts of colors mixed together for this one congregation, which is called the church
right.
in this day and age.
Amen.
And there's no lines of division among us. There's neither white nor black, neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female.
Amen.
And we have to understand that color and gender is not a place to bring up in the church, although we do it all the time. And like I said, I was reading the article that the most segregated place in America is the church in this country. So that I just wanted to make that point that there is no color lines within the church. There is no gender lines within the church. We are all equal in Christ as long as we are in Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
We got to get in Christ. And that's what Jesus said. It is the spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. The flesh profited nothing. And that's what he went on to say. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. St. John 6:63. And we know also Apostle Paul was writing a letter, his second letter to the Corinthian church. And he was saying, we don't know Christ after the flesh no more. You know,
mm-hmm.
And he went on to say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So it doesn't matter about we're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. And we're all made of one blood. We brought that out when we went through the book of Acts.
Yeah.
So when you blood, everybody has got to have blood to live. You got to have oxygen. And all these, God made our bodies filthy, fearful, and we're fearful and wonderfully made. The flesh is filthy if you're operating in the flesh.
Yeah.
But we're fearful and wonderfully made. And that's why people, colors don't fall in love, people do. So it doesn't matter. We're all the same. It's a heart connection
uh-huh.
is what it should be. Even in the church, you have things in common. Everybody's not compatible,
uh-huh.
but we should have things in common with a mate whom we choose to marry. But that's a lie from hell about I'm superior and I'm a minority and all of that. People are people. As far as God is concerned, even he said, all souls are mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So ain't no black soul, Chinese soul, a Mexican soul,
that's right.
a Muslim soul and all that.
And in the end, we are all, we spoke of the spiritual family, all one in Christ. But if you look in the natural family, we all come out of one man.
Right.
We all come out of Noah and his three sons. That everyone that lives on this earth today is out of that genealogy of Noah and his three
mm-hmm.
and his three sons, Shem, Japheth, and Ham.
Mm-hmm.
So we all are related one way or another.
Even if you trace it all the way back.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And at the end of the day, this old filthy flesh, whether it's light-skinned, dark-skinned, white, pale, whatever you have it, it's not going to heaven no way. We're going to get new bodies.
Right.
So it does not matter in the end. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
So we thank God that we've completed the seventh chapter of the book of Romans, as Elder Fountain so uniquely puts it, as Apostle Paul's masterpiece,
uh-huh.
this book of Romans. So we had started off in the eighth, so he can do the recap how he wants, but we've been talking about justification. We've been talking about the law. So many things that Apostle Paul has dealt with in this book of Romans, who were the church at Rome, were folks who were already saved, as we had said in the first chapter when he started writing the letter, and he heard of their faith, and he wanted to impart unto them some spiritual gift, but he was hindered. But that's why he said, as much as life in me is, I'm now ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. And he went on to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel,
of Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that quote out of Habakkuk about the just shall live by his faith. So we're going to venture on off. Without any further ado, we're going to give you in the hands of our historian in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain.
Amen. So, as Elder Cannon said, we're in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. I'll recap. We spoke out of the 7th chapter and the 8th chapter last week. And we talked about how the law could not save us. The law could do many things, and it pointed out the sins that we all were committing, but we could not be cleansed from sin through the law. The law could only do so much. And we were technically freed from the law with the death of Jesus Christ. He put away that covenant upon dying upon the cross. He served Israel, the northern kingdom, a bill of divorcement. He put away the marriage with Judah by dying upon the cross. And now he's created a new covenant with the church. And there's a battle going on within our bodies between our flesh, which is enmity against God or hate against God, and the spirit of our mind, which wants to do right but could not do right without a little bit of help.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that we are going in, as we go into the 8th chapter, that the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is that which gives us that help to do what we want to do that is right, which is live after the commandments of God. But and you have to have that in you in order to have power or dominion over your flesh. So, and to recap, this one verse I think recaps a lot of it. Verse number 13 in chapter number 8, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die." So without God in your life, without the Holy Ghost working in your life, you're living after the flesh. And if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So now, with the Spirit helping you, that is how we are able to mortify or put off or subdue our flesh. And this is how we are able to live and have the gift of eternal life, because we know that the Holy Ghost is the earnest of our eternal life. He is the down payment of eternal life, because that Holy Ghost is an eternal spirit. And so if you have an eternal spirit within you, then you shall live. That is how we have eternal life, through the Holy Ghost. And we are cleansed through his blood. But now, so we mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse number 14. And we spoke on last week about the sons of God and how he gave us power to become sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't automatically become sons of God, but he gave us the power to become. That means he gave us the ability to become a son of God. And if there's a lot of people out there that claim to be sons of God, but are not really truly sons of God, because they do not bear the name of God, which is the name of Jesus Christ. And he does not recognize anybody if you do not bear that name. There's no way that you can identify me with my father, Herbie Fountain, without his name being upon me.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that Fountain name, that he is my father, or I have some sort of relation with him. So now, that is how you are recognized, by having a name. Jesus said, "I come in my Father's name." How did he come in his Father's name? Well, he had his Father's name upon him.
Man.
And he was given a more excellent name than everybody else.
Yeah.
We talked about this last week. So now, as we move on, that is how we become sons of God. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So now we are not in the bondage of sin. We are not in the bondage of the law, because the law points out our sin. and keeps us, is yet keeps us in bondage. We just know we are bound rather than not knowingly be bound. But now we have been freed from that bondage, and we have been adopted by the Father through the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So there is the Spirit that you notice the capital S right there.
Yeah.
That denotes that that's talking about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. It bears witness with our spirit. Every man has a spirit. And as long as that spirit is in you, you have the breath of life.
Mm-hmm.
When you give up that spirit, it says, I believe in Ecclesiastes, that it returns unto God who gave it.
Yeah.
So we all have a spirit within us. And that spirit, when those two spirits connect with one another, it starts working wonders in your life.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So now we are the children of God, we are recognized by God, we are loved by God as children. A child gets a much different love than that of a servant or a worker.
Mm-hmm.
If you are someone's child, they love you more than anybody else that is around. Amen?
Amen.
So, and if we are children, then we are heirs. That means we have rights to the properties of God.
Amen.
And heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. But now we have to understand that you may have suffering in this life, and that suffering does not show you as being cursed in this lifetime. Suffering actually proves quite the opposite, that you are blessed for the next lifetime. You are blessed because you are going to be glorified together with all the rest of the saints of God. You're going to be glorified together with Christ in the clouds,
mm-hmm.
and you shall be with him forever. And that glory totally outweighs the sufferings that you're going through in this lifetime. You may be suffering and not be able to pay bills. You may be talked about. You may even be killed, martyred for the name of Christ, as the apostles were. But in the end, you will be glorified so much greater than what you suffered in this lifetime, and that is what we are hoping for. That is our earnest hope. That is what we're looking for, to see the manifestations of the Son of God, sons of God, in their places right next to God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And if I could, I just real quick, Elder, I wanted to go back up when you were speaking of us receiving the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And I think this may be a good opportunity to speak on the new birth experience when we speak of newborn Christians speaking in tongues. And Elder Fonta was speaking of being children of God.
Uh-huh.
And if I could, just for one moment, I want to go back to the book of Acts in chapter number 2. Dealing on the day of Pentecost when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And verse number 7, it says, and they, these were the multitude that were gathered around, were all amazed and marveled, saying one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And it goes on, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea, and it goes on. The point I want to bring out is these men, number one, knew that those being filled with the Holy Ghost were Galileans because of their language.
Right.
So your language identifies you with your citizenship, if you will. I know that there's some people, you know, maybe you're on the phone and you're calling to pay a bill and you
most of the time can tell what nationality that person is on the other end of the line because of how they speak.
Right.
So language is identified with who you are or where you were born. So when you are born again, you are going to receive a new language. So that is why we as apostolics, when we say when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you are going to speak in tongues. But again, that is to identify you with the new citizenship, and that is a heavenly citizenship that is to identify you with God, amen? So I just thought that was a good opportunity to bring that out, amen?
Right, yeah, because when you're born again, out of all the things they're looking for the baby to do when it's born, they're looking for the baby to cry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why he said, God, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts crying, Abba, Father,
mm-hmm.
which is literally means daddy.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And if I take that a step further and talk about what I went on to talk about with the manifestations of the sons of God,
mm-hmm.
we know that in this lifetime that if we speak in tongues, that is only for a time.
Mm-hmm.
The tongues will fade away.
Yes. Right.
Faith will fade away. There's a lot of things that will fade away, but our charity will never fail. And if I look into 1 Corinthians, he says that charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail.
Yes.
Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Prophecies will be done away with.
Mm-hmm.
Once that which is prophesied comes, there's no need for prophecies.
Right.
Once there's no need for tongues, they shall stop. Once there's no need for knowledge of knowing what is to come, there's no need to have it anymore. It should all go away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. So we know partly. We do these things seeing through a glass darkly, as he goes on to say.
Yeah.
But he says, but then shall I know even as I also am known. And so now we have three: faith, hope, and charity. Faith will stop because there's no need to have faith when that which you have faith in, it appears.
Mm-hmm.
Hope will stop. That one which we hope appears, when that appears, we no longer need the hope because we're right face to face with them. But charity will never fail. The charity will never cease because we will forever love the Lord and be with him because we have a son-father relationship and we will see him face to face as a son sees a father and we will be together with him forever. That's why it will never fail. That's why it will never fade away because our manifestation will happen. And when that manifestation happens, we don't need faith. We don't need hope. We don't need tongues. We don't need any of that.
Right.
We just need him to be face to face with us, and he'll give us all that we need. Amen?
Right. And it's a couple things, like in when they said to Jesus about his disciples didn't fast, and he said they don't need to fast while the bridegroom's with them, but the days will come when he's with them, they will fast.
Yeah.
And then also, just to talk about the power of God, like Elder Fountain is saying, that's why Isaiah said, he went back to say, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, them that had no mighty increase his strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. So we serve in the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
So everything that he said, just like he declared the end from the beginning. You know, he said, I'm God, and there's none else, I'm God. There's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. An ancient time, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. So that's what we're trying to get people to put their faith in, the word of God, like
Amen.
What we're talking about, and in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And there's some things you just can't totally understand about God because it's not meant for you to totally understand about God. And we will, even when we are glorified together with him and are with him face to face, we will be searching out his word for eternity.
Yeah.
We will be searching out the riches of his word and following after him and studying after him for eternity. Amen?
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but that is a blessed feeling that I have, that I will know that I will be with him, and that there's some things that I just won't be able to figure out. There's some things I can't figure
right.
out now in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you will still be figuring it out because who can know God?
Right. Well, that's why he said, the writer, Hebrew Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace.
Amen.
So we know the ages to come. That is not now.
Yeah.
That's in the ages to come.
Yes. Amen. So I think we've dealt with that. Let's move on to verse number 20. It says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." We are the creation. We are the creatures that he's talking about.
Yeah.
"And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." So the whole creation that he's talking about, all
human
of mankind,
family. Yeah.
The human family, are groaning and travailing in pain together. Everyone gets old, everyone dies, everyone has questions about their life.
Right.
And even we ourselves have questions, and we have pains and we have aches in our body.
Mm-hmm.
And we are groaning within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, waiting for that moment when we no longer have to be in this body.
Amen. And people don't know what they're looking for, folks out in the world.
Yeah.
They do the same thing. They're waiting for the weekend. They waiting for this one or that one or this drink or
because everyone is searching for something.
It's a void that God's put in us.
Yes. And that void can never be fulfilled without Jesus Christ in your life. And we are still looking for the fulfilling of that void because, again, we are not fully glorified in this body.
Mm-hmm.
We have to put on a glorified body
right.
in order to have that void fully fulfilled. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for?" So what's the point of hope if you can see what it is that you're hoping
right.
for? You have to visually, spiritually see it and in order to hope for it.
Amen.
And faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is yeah, although it's the substance of the things hoped for, it's still faith is an idea that you can only see by faith.
Right.
You can't see by faith. It's not something that you can see with your natural eye. So that is our hope let me point out what our hope is in the end. In the book of Titus, the third chapter, and starting in the, let's start the first verse. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work, to speak evil of no man, and be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. But wait a second. Didn't he just say God was our Savior?
Yeah. Same one.
Again,
same one.
It's the same Savior, same God, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So our hope is for eternal life, and our hope is that Jesus Christ will appear for us, and our hope is to be with Jesus Christ for all eternity.
Yeah, amen.
And there's many other scriptures that I could go to. That was just one scripture that I wanted to pull out, that our hope is for eternal life.
Right.
So that is what we're hoping for. But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as for we ought, but the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts know what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So now what he's saying here is that there's some things even within ourselves that we couldn't even utter to God.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that we could even speak it to God, because we don't fully understand what we're speaking. But the Spirit itself will make intercession for us. How does the Spirit make intercession for us? It has to be in us to know our hearts,
yeah,
what is in us to get it out of us.
Right.
And that Spirit will bring what is in your heart out and pray unto God through utterances that we couldn't even, and groanings that we can't even speak.
Mm-hmm.
There's sometimes when you're in prayer and there's a sound that comes out of you that you don't even know what that sound is.
Yes.
There's sometimes you could be speaking in the same tongue for 30 years and all of a sudden some new tongue pops up out of nowhere,
mm-hmm,
and it's the only time you speak in that tongue.
Yeah.
That's the Spirit making intercession for you. And
yeah,
he starts speaking stuff that you have no idea what you're saying, and it edifies you.
Yeah.
He's trying to save your soul.
Amen.
And he's at work inside of you. How can you save yourself without that Spirit in you? There's no way that you can save yourself, because there's some things in your heart that you can't get out.
Right.
God has to cleanse your heart. And we have to understand that you have to have the Spirit working within your life. And you have to walk after that Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That means you have to follow after that Spirit. That means you have to live after how that Spirit wants you to live. You have to be in tune with that Spirit, and you have to be in agreement with that Spirit. How can two walk together unless they agree? And you have to be in agreement with the Spirit. You have to be in agreement with God in order to follow after the will of God. And that is what that Spirit is making intercession for you in order to bring you back up to the mark, because there may be some things that we secretly are failing on,
yes,
and that Spirit will make intercession for you.
Yeah, and that's a good point, and that's what I like about the 8th chapter of Romans. It is, if you will, the Spirit chapter, because it tells and it gives us a lot of information about the Holy Spirit. And one good point Elder Fonta brought out is, in order for the Holy Ghost to intercede for you, number one, you have to have it.
Yeah.
But if I could go a little further, you have to be a praying person to have the Holy Ghost kicking in and intercede for you. You're not just going to be sitting on a couch and the Holy Ghost going to be in you praying while you sitting up here and all you watching is ESPN 24/7.
Amen.
So you have to be a praying person,
yeah,
also. David says to search me, O Lord. So there's things in you. You may not know that there's a book, but there may be things in you that's hindering you from coming to a higher place in God. And while you're praying, as Elder Fonta said, the Holy Ghost will step in that prayer, and you will begin to utter things, and you don't know what's going on, but that's the Holy Ghost assisting you and helping you. But if you don't ever get down and pray, you're not going to allow the Holy Ghost to operate in that aspect. And I think that's one thing that the church, the body of Christ as a whole, is lacking, is we have no idea of the power that we received when we were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost does so many things for us, but if you don't put the key in the ignition of the car and turn it, your car's not going to start up, amen? So there's things that the Holy Ghost can do for us, but if we don't activate that power, it's rendered useless, if you will. And I think that's the reason that a lot of us are in a state that we are in. So when we're reading all these things about the Holy Ghost, you know, the Bible tells us that even if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, then we're none of His. So what are those that have not received the Holy Ghost? What is their answer to that? Or you know, when we say, oh yeah, you know, you know, I'm struggling with this thing. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. Well, have you prayed about it?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you asking everybody else to pray for you?
Mm-hmm.
See, we get into the habit of saying, pray for me, Elder Cannon. Pray for me, Elder Fountain. We should change that to pray with me.
Right.
And along that journey, we have to believe that the Holy Ghost is going to do one of the many jobs that it was sent to do, and that's to intercede for us. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So moving on, it says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and them... And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So now, all of these things is in the past tense.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand, God spoke this about your life before the foundation of the world. And he knew that he predestinated us according to his foreknowledge. And he foreknew that you would accept the gospel of Jesus Christ and that you would follow after what the Spirit wants you to do. That's how he did this. Past tense. Have we been glorified yet? No, we haven't. But we have been justified through faith.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been called by faith. We have done all these things by faith. We yet will be glorified by faith. And he did all of these things knowing that it was according to his purpose. God had a plan that he laid out before the foundation of the world,
yes.
And he knew everything that was going to happen within that plan.
Mm-hmm.
He made provisions,
yes,
for everything that would go wrong. He knew would go wrong,
yes,
because he knew that Adam would eat from that tree that in that garden. He said, for in the day,
mm-hmm,
he did not say if you eat. He said, in the day that you eat. So he knew that Adam and Eve were both going to eat from that tree.
Mm-hmm.
He made the provision because he slayed the lamb before the foundation of the world.
Right, man.
Jesus Christ was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So he knew that he was going to have to make a provision for Adam and Eve. He knew that Satan was going to, he knew Lucifer was going to fall and become,
right,
Satan. He,
mm-hmm,
knew that he was going to be the tempter and the destroyer. He knew that the Antichrist was coming and was going to sit himself in the temple to be like God.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew all of this, and he had this plan laid out, and you were part of that plan, and he preached the gospel unto you before you were even thought of in your mother's womb.
Yes.
He preached unto you, and he predestinated you according to your answer to believing the gospel or not believing the gospel. And that is how he predestinated you. That is how he called you. That's how he justified you. And that's how he's going to glorify you.
Amen. And it has to be, and let us reiterate this, because there's some that teach because of this scripture that God chose certain people to do certain things. He chose some to go to heaven. He chose some to go to hell. And then you have other people that struggle with, well, if God knew Adam was going to eat, why did he put him there? We have to try to grasp with our little finite minds the concept of foreknowledge. We have to understand that the Bible says that he declared the ending from the beginning.
Yeah.
God saw everything throughout the time frame of man. He saw what was going to happen. He knew it because that's how powerful he is, his mind. He says, my thoughts are above your thoughts. So we have, number one, we can't fully grasp the understanding of God. But in foreknowledge, he knew every choice. And I can talk about me for right now to make it simple. He knew every choice that I would make as an individual.
Right.
And according to what he knew I would do before he created time, he then placed me in time to assist his plan working out. And he done that with each individual because, as Elder Fonta said, God did have a plan. And he placed each and every person in a specific place, in a specific time, in a specific age and dispensation, so that his plan could be worked out. And it was according to what we, how we answered to the call, because we were all preached the gospel. We all chose whether or not to go to heaven or whether or not to go to hell
before the world began. And now we're just playing out everything that God already saw in his mind. So it's not that he specifically chose Elder Cannon and looked and said, well, you know what, this brother Michael Cannon, he's a good guy. I'm going to allow him to go to heaven. No, he saw this man's heart. He knew the choices that this man would make. And according to the plan that he wanted to work out, he then predestinated us. He then justified us. So we have to try to bring some understanding, and we don't want to get anyone confused. They say, well, if God knew the devil was going to do this, why did he create him? Creation and making it, that itself is a subject that we could go on and on and on with. It's just he knew that it was going to happen before he created, but right. It didn't stop him from making it happen, if you will.
Right. He's God. That's why Moses said, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the world and the earth, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
Mm-hmm.
We can only go back to the beginning. You know, like Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And we know in the beginning, God, he didn't make himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he always existed. So he knows all things. So that's why when he wrote to the church, he was saying, he talked about people being, he foreknew us. He did predestinate us to be conformed in the image of his son, that that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So that's why God can speak it. That's why we said earlier in the fourth chapter of Romans, even God, which quickeneth the dead or makes the dead alive and calleth those things that be not as though they were, because he already knows. So it's up to, that's what we don't understand. And sometimes people do know somebody's going to do something. I knew it. Somebody do something. I knew it. Why didn't you stop them?
Yeah.
You know, especially if it's something negative.
And I think a good example of that is that with the world calls the Last Supper.
Mm.
And I won't go any further than that. But when Jesus told Judas to go out and do whatever it was that he purposed in his heart,
quick.
He knew what Judas was going to do.
Right.
And there was a bad thing. That is what caused Jesus to get crucified. But we have to understand that Jesus knew that Judas would do that,
mm-hmm.
and in order for his plan to be successful, he had to allow Judas to go do that. If
right.
he didn't tell Judas to do that, he may not have made it to the cross, and we would still be sitting here in our sins.
Right.
And even further than that, it would have went against prophecy.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
The prophecies would have never been fulfilled.
Right.
There was prophecies about Judas Iscariot, and there was prophecies about him hanging upon that cross. He was the curse.
Mm-hmm.
He was the
made
he would
curse.
Hanging upon the tree is
the
curse.
Right.
So there was prophecies, and if those prophecies failed, then the word of God would have failed, and God would have been made a liar, and there's no way that God can lie, because God cannot lie.
Right, man.
And so that's why Judas Iscariot had to be let go, and do according to the plan, because God prophesied this.
Right. Well, that's what he said. Jesus himself said, have not I chosen 12 of you, and one of you is the devil?
Yeah.
He knew. They didn't even know. Right. I chose 12 of you, and one of you is the devil. He didn't make him a devil.
Uh-huh.
He knew his heart, what he was going to act out.
Uh-huh.
He knew Peter, like folks keep talking about, Peter denied him. Yeah, he sure did. Yeah, before he got saved,
he
denied him. But I don't see him denying him no more.
And you know, and if I could, it's just funny. This past Sunday at service, because we talk about how Peter denied Jesus three times. And I just found it very interesting when Jesus was speaking to Peter about feeding his sheep,
mm-hmm.
he told him to do it three times, and he told him that he would three times. So that kind of tickles me. You know, he denied him three times, but he also commanded him to feed his sheep three times. One time it was lamb, and the other two times it was sheep. And he said that he would do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to say that Peter made up, if you will.
And then not only that, Peter got grieved because he said unto him the third time. And so Peter's reply to that, he says, you know that I love you. Know I love you. He says, you know
all
thou things. Knowest all things, proving that he was God.
That's good.
Yeah.
Amen. So with all that being said, we know that we were foreknew, we know that we were predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. And we have an assistance that will make intercession for us. We have an assistance that will keep us from sin. So with that being said, verse number 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah.
But if we have all these things on our side, and God is the one backing us up, who can be against
right.
us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So now, Jesus Christ as the Son is making intercession for us. How is he making intercession for us? Through the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's not the Holy Ghost talking to Jesus who then talks to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
It's all one Spirit working a work. Amen?
Right. Just like you said last week when you dealt with the prophet and the priest, and he actually, he three offices, prophet, priest, and king. We know he's in the priestly office right now. He's going to be in the kingly office at another time.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he's going to be, he's going to show, that's 1 Timothy 6:15, which in his time he shall show who is that blessed and only potentate, supreme ruler, king of kings, and lord of lords. So right now, he's ever living to make intercession for us. He's praying through us.
Mm-hmm.
And some people say, he's praying for me? No, you got to pray for yourself, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's the unction. He's preaching and teaching through us. He's our unction. He's our inspiration. He gives us what to utter. But we got to do something. You know, we got to yield ourselves. That's what he said. You know, we got to yield ourselves as servants to obey. You know, we have received that form of doctrine. So we can't just lay on the sidelines. We're just resting. No, we got to do something.
And that's a,
we're in the body. If our body quit working, we're going to be in bad shape.
Yeah.
That's
a very good point, and Elder Clifton made that point also, that he can't make intercession through your prayers if you're not praying.
Exactly.
He tells us to occupy,
mm-hmm.
and that word occupy means you have to do some work.
Yeah.
And James, although we are justified by faith, in, as we read in here, James said you show your faith through your work.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand that there's a work that goes along with this calling, and everything that we do, we have to show ourselves to be good stewards,
right,
and to be good servants. Amen. So who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's Isaiah 53.
Mm-hmm.
Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, we are more than conquerors.
Mm-hmm.
How are we more than conquerors? Because we didn't have to do any conquering. We just walked in into the blessings that he
right.
did. He's the one that conquered.
Right.
So we are more than conquerors because we have the right to walk in. Let me use an example. David was a warrior king. David fought for his entire life, and he subdued all of his enemies at the end of his life. After David died, Solomon just walked in to David's lessons, and the kingdom just opened up through Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
And Solomon was one of the richest men in the world in his day, and he had a lot of influence, but a lot of what Solomon got was through what David fought for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just the same, a lot of what we have today in the church, the power that we have is through the fighting that Jesus Christ did for us, and the conquering that he did for us, hanging upon that cross and dying for us, that we are able to walk into the blessings that he has for us.
Right. And you got to know who you are. You know, you got to know that you are a son of God, and you have taken on his name. Now, I used to work for General Motors. I couldn't just grab somebody's contract and start reading it and say these benefits belong to me if I didn't get first hired by that company.
Yes.
That entitled me to the benefits.
Yes.
We had two contracts. We had the economics, which was all of our benefits, and then we had local agreements. So it's the same way in the spiritual realm. We God is our Father, and we have access to Him, but we also we belong to a local church. This is the way God set it up. No man is an island. Nobody's out there by themselves. But that's why the psalmist said God set it to solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land.
Mm-hmm.
We know the dry land is the desert, and in the desert you will die. You'll know how to survive. There's no living water in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be in a local church. So I remember meeting a man, a brother at General Motors one time. He says, I just go where the Spirit leads me. The Spirit going to lead you to go and sit down and be taught.
Amen.
Especially you a baby saint. You ain't got nothing to say.
Amen.
You don't know what to say. Even the apostles themselves, even the Apostle Paul, met with Peter, and they had the same thing. They all had the same thing. What is it that they had? They had the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
They had the Law of Moses. They had the prophets. They had the Psalms. Because the New Testament wasn't written then. We know Apostle Paul ended up writing about 14 books. We call them the Pauline epistles. And Peter wrote a couple of books of his own. Plus, he was mentioned of in the Gospels. So he was a great man. Plus, he had the keys. Folks had to come by him. And also in the Acts of the Apostles. Apostle Peter was a very important man.
Mm-hmm.
Was he? No, he had to mature. Like people say nowadays, I'm not perfect. No, we're going on to perfection. Because the word biblical perfection means maturity. And God wouldn't tell us to do something that he knew we couldn't do.
Amen.
That doesn't even make sense.
And in all things where Peter was wrong, he was rebuked. And
and
Peter repented
yeah.
in everything that he did. There's people out there that say, I'm not a perfect man. And we know that Peter wasn't a perfect man.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter repented from his imperfection.
Right.
Anytime Peter was called into question, he had to repent. And Peter was a very bold man, but Peter knew through the teaching of Jesus Christ that he had to repent for anything that he did wrong.
Uh-huh. Right.
So as we talked about, he denied Christ three times. He was rebuked for that.
Yes.
And he repented. When he got the vision to go to Cornelius' house, he refused three times. He was rebuked and had to go to Cornelius' house.
Mm-hmm.
When Paul was with him in, I believe it was Antioch, and there was Jews that came from James, and Peter dissembled himself to be with the Jews and no longer ate meat with the Gentiles, Paul rebuked them,
right.
And Peter repented.
Right.
And in all things, Peter repented for everything. So if you do something that shows your imperfections in this lifetime, you have to openly repent.
Right.
Openly.
Openly repent.
Right. Especially if you're a leader.
And that's all I'm going to say on it.
Yeah.
You have to repent.
Right. And so we got, there's excuse. I've listened to some people that have question marks all around them now, things that they said. There's a time that we all have to fall. That's a lie. Because I'm reminded of what Peter said about giving all diligence, add to your first faith virtue, the virtue knowledge, the knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, the godliness brother kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never, you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. So, and then he said, for so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was talking about how the Lord was going to show him how he's going to take off this tabernacle.
Yeah.
So we have people saying things, but they can tell you to watch this and all these other things that they're saying. But so that was one of the first things that I thought about when I first got saved. Matthew 5:48, when he said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father is in heaven is perfect. Would the Lord tell you to do something he knew you couldn't do? No.
Mm-hmm.
So perfection is being mature.
Mm-hmm.
So
amen.
You should be mature.
Amen.
Grow up in him who is the head of all things. Apostle Paul said in the book of Ephesians, even Christ. Grow up means the mature.
Amen.
Amen. So with that, we will move on, finish out the eighth chapter, and then hopefully get to set up a little bit what will happen in the ninth, tenth, and eleventh chapter. But let me finish out these last two scriptures. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Mm-hmm.
So anything that may come up in your life, anything, anything that comes up in your life, from outside forces, inward forces, from up or down, from left or right, anything that comes up against you should not be able to separate you from the love of Jesus Christ, because the love of Jesus Christ is in you and should have power over your body, where you have your body in dominion, submission unto God, where you are doing His will,
mm-hmm.
and your will is shown. His will is shown through you,
mm-hmm.
throughout all the world. You are the light of the world, because the light of the world is within you.
Amen.
And this is how we shine our light unto the entire world. So this is how this is why the love of God could not be separated from us, because we know we have a hope, and we know we have a calling, we know we have all of the things that he mentioned in previous verses,
mm-hmm.
and that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, because we know that He loved us, because we are indeed the children of God and the sons of God.
Right, and He gave His life, and that's why He said the love of God, which is in
yes.
Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yes.
So didn't nobody else, all these other folks, they ain't finna die. Folks are getting deceived, dying as martyrs. That ain't what the Lord's talking about. He's already came. And the Jews as a whole, the nation, did not believe that the Messiah cometh. And that's why they're in trouble now. But they're going to see
mm-hmm.
that he is the one that they crucified.
And this is not to say that trouble is not going to come. That's the point that I want to bring out. And in Philippians 1 and 29, it says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." So when we go back to starting at verse 35, when He names all these things, and He's asking a question when He asks, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" When He names all these things, He's in verse number 37. He says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors." But what He's saying is, these things are going to come. He
right.
says, "In all these things, and all the trouble that comes up against you,
right.
and all the tribulation, and all the distress, and all the persecution, the famine, and the nakedness, and all these things that can and probably will come when you're walking in Christ," He's saying, "we're still more than conquerors." So that's not to say that when you get saved, or that you are saved, that trouble's not going to come your way. That's one thing that we some people, they say to people, "Oh, just when you come to Christ, everything is going to be okay. All your problems going to disappear." That's a lie.
Right.
In some cases, you're going to get more trouble when you take on the name of Christ, because now the devil is mad at you, and he wants to stop you from getting to the place that he desired to be in. Amen.
And not only the devil, people will be mad at
yes.
you.
Right.
There's people that just outright don't love God.
Mm-hmm.
They outright hate God.
Right.
And there's going to be a time where people will curse God because He's not blessing them or not doing what they feel that He should be doing in this earth. And there's people out there that just be angry with you for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not even got the devil in.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this broadcast has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.